this is where Texas politics gets interesting. Here again are two guys named Jason, some great guests, and cold Texas beer for another smart conversation on Y'allitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
Hey, everybody, welcome back for another episode of Y'allitics. We're in a place we haven't been before, or at least I haven't been before.
Yeah, I've been here before. If you would show up for work sometimes, then you would have been here before.
You soloed a podcast from here.
Dude, I do many podcasts because you don't show up.
I think
up.
We should go through the library. I think there's maybe two of them in there that you've done alone.
We're closing on, 500 episodes?
It feels like it, but Daryl is showing me 300.
300, I don't know.
Okay. See, you tend to exaggerate,
I don't know, but the point is...
I think you've done two alone, and it had to have been hard.
You should have joined me for this last one we had here, because it was about how to cope with you know, the election, the politics, and everything else. And I asked the guy, our guest, how to cope with you.
He didn't have an answer.
It was tough. It was tough. That was the second episode we're working on from here. We're at Jack of All Brewing Company. This is in Bishop Arts District in Dallas, the south side of Dallas. New place. If you know Bishop Arts, it's right next to Oddfellows. In fact, the owners of Oddfellows also own this place. And it's fantastic place.
It's a very cool place, too. And I'm having where did I get the honeybee, the buzz... something or another.
Yeah, the Honey Buster Hefeweizen. And I asked the bartender, I said, what kind of fruit beers do you have? He said, sir, this is not the kind of place for a fruit beer.
This is really good. I haven't had a Hefeweizen in a while.
It's a man's beer. So,
it's really nice.
I'm glad you could join us.
And I'm going to down it. What are you having?
You had some of mine, too.
I had some of yours, too. Yeah, it just sat down in front of me, and I started drinking it unaware. I hope I'm not sick. And I hope you're not sick.
I need a few days off to get my head straight anyway, so it's no problem. I'm having, in the spirit of Oktoberfest, this is a Lederhosen, L-A-T-E-R.
I like that.
It's a Märzen beer, and it's a lighter Märzen, so it's good.
You know Oktoberfest is over.
It is, because we're in October now. It's in September. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
What
else can you enlighten us with today, though? Go ahead, Jason.
I'll see. We've got some time in front of us here. We got David Harper with us today from Haynes & Boone, a huge law firm here in Texas. We're talking about, and don't tune away, we're talking about business courts. And I know that doesn't sound like a sexy thing, but David, you're going to make this sexy, aren't you?
That's why we're going to have two beers already.
This may be your highest rated episode ever.
It really is interesting, though.
If you haven't turned it off already, that you heard the topic.
Then we've won. Yeah.
Right.
It is interesting, though, because it's a brand new thing here in Texas. Just started at the beginning of September.
Yeah. Right.
This is really going to shake things up in the court system here and how things are done legally, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. It's a whole new thing. Mm-hmm. It's something that other states have done. Mm-hmm. Delaware has done it the biggest.
They're notorious.
That's where all the big cases are, business cases, giant cases tend to be in Delaware.
So just for a little bit of background on that, Delaware boasts that it has more than 1.9 million business entities with their legal home there, including more than half of U.S. publicly traded companies, and 66% of Fortune 500 companies are legally located in Delaware. It has drawn so many businesses over the years, and a lot of that is because of its court system that handles strictly business cases.
Right. No, that's exactly right. It's both because of the laws that they pass that are friendly to corporations to locate there. All those companies are not physically located there, right, as you can imagine. Delaware's not big enough for all of that.
They just incorporate there.
But they incorporate there, and then they like their cases, their court cases, to be litigated there to apply that law. And Texas wants to not just have companies incorporate here, but locate here. Mm-hmm. And part of that is having the courts that go along with that, like Delaware, so that you get that business into Texas.
So Texas is saying, hey, we're, you know, speak of business friendly, we can be more business friendly than Delaware. So come here and incorporate here and move here, and we've got our own court system just for you.
Right. I mean, just like your podcast, Y'all Street is a big deal, right?
Yeah.
And here, the governor, the legislature, they're all thinking one of the key components to get all that business here into Texas is to make sure that we have that kind of court system like Delaware has, hopefully, to try to get more, even more business to locate here.
So let's zoom out a minute here, David. So if I'm not an attorney, if I'm not, don't own a business, why is it such a big deal for me here in Texas that there's business courts here?
Well, it's one of the kind of sticks in the bag of sticks or trick in the bag of tricks in terms of putting everything together to be, quote, business friendly. We hear all that from the governor, sure, from the legislature all the time. And one of the things that Delaware has is not just the laws that the legislature passes that are good for corporations to locate there, but the court system to back it up.
But are we really in danger, though, of losing businesses if we didn't create this thing?
Well, not necessarily losing, but getting more. I mean, 30 states have a form of a business court system. Obviously, Delaware is the best known and the, sure, most, you know, you hear about it all the time in terms of big, giant securities cases, corporate disputes. But Texas was kind of behind to not have it. So one thing is to make sure that you have what all these other 30 states have. You don't want to be behind them. But Texas, of course, wants to be ahead.
Well, let me ask you this. The legislature has talked about this for a number of years now. It's a Republican state. Why did it take Texas so long to catch up to these other 30 states?
Yeah, it's a good question. There's politics involved, as you can imagine.
No.
I mean, yeah. I mean, well, I mean, at a high level, in terms of the lawyers, I mean, you've got the kind of the business community and Texans for Lawsuit Reform, that kind of side of the aisle, and you've got the trial lawyers, and the trial lawyers don't want these big cases to get out of the normal court system because they say, hey, this is good for me, good for trying to get big verdicts, you know, all that kind of thing.
Because the judges aren't as familiar with the intricacies of business litigation,
or what? One, the judges are not as familiar, but the judges are also, and we've got good judges. I don't want to say we've got good judges, but they're busy. Mm. I mean, if you go down to any state court district judge, I mean, they've got literally thousands of cases, most of them car wrecks, mm-hmm, but they got to handle and administer all of that. And these big cases take a lot of time, a lot of attention, and some expertise. And it's hard for them to get the kind of attention. And so then these big companies, if they've got a $100 million dispute, they say, well, wait, I'm going to be in line with like 100 car wrecks and get that kind of attention? That's not what they want, right? This is too big of a matter to kind of put in that situation.
And so trial lawyers have been kind of going up against these other set of attorneys trying to battle against keeping these business courts out of the state?
Yeah, that's part of it. And part of it is kind of threading the needle of the Texas Constitution says all the judges need to be elected.
Yeah,
and
there's something sticky here with that.
And so the thinking was you could get around that provision if you had appointed judges that only had 2-year terms, and you could get around that Texas constitutional provision. And people believe that is going to stick. It could be challenged, mm-hmm, still yet to potentially be challenged, but the framers of this whole system believe that works under the Constitution as it is right now.
So that's a very interesting thing. So right out of the gates here, this could still be challenged, just as these courts are sort of getting their legs under them. But as you mentioned, this is very different from what we usually see. I mean, if you vote, you've seen that, you know, judges are on the ballot if you make it that far down the ballot each time. With this one, though, the governor has an enormous amount of power to be able to appoint judges. I mean, this is like 11 different business court districts across the state. He has the pretty awesome power here of being able to appoint all of those judges.
Right, with the consent of the Senate in Texas. But yes, I mean, and that's part of it. Part of the program, so to speak, is to make sure you can get really highly qualified people. You may have noticed sometimes in elections, you know, really qualified people who are in great positions, they're like, I don't really want to run, but if somebody appointed me, maybe they do it. And so you can get really highly qualified people, and the governor can curate that. And I don't think anybody on any side of the aisle doesn't think that the people that the governor appointed are anything but highly qualified.
Right.
Really strong people.
This can't just be his best friend. These judges actually have to have a fair amount of expertise since they are going to be in a specialized courtroom. Talk a little bit about the difference between, you know, judges that you might find in a district court and judges in these special business courts.
Yeah, well, I mean, the base requirements are different. Mm-hmm. And to be a business court judge, you have to have 10 years of experience as a practicing lawyer, at least, or have been a district judge already. And that kind of experience has to be in sort of the business transactional or business commercial context. So so there's a higher bar to be able to get somebody in the door. And so you're going to end up with people who have more experience. And any state district judge might have that experience, but doesn't have to. And a lot of those folks don't come out of that kind of a background.
Just to back up about the car wreck cases here, too. So if I wreck my truck, is the idea here that by pulling the business cases out of the state district courts, that the wheels of justice will turn faster for all these other cases?
Yeah,
out
that's
part.
Yeah,
is
sure.
Is that the idea?
Sure, that's part of it. If you pull the biggest cases, these are not all business cases. Mm-hmm. These are only the biggest ones.
But they take a long time.
But they take a long time. They take a lot of the court's attention. I mean, I've been in cases where, you know, you had to have a hour-long conference with the judge every week to talk about what's going on in the case. Wow. The judges don't want to have to allocate their time that way. Mm-hmm. But to move a giant case along, it can take that. And so judges have other things to do. And so, yes, it will free up time. It may make things better for you when, you know, you are in your truck accident.
Let me just go back a few years. I know you. This doesn't necessarily pertain to you specifically since you do a lot of business law, but I remember tort reform here, 20-something years ago, and the whole selling point for that was it's going to, you know, clean up the court system, clear out the dockets, and things are going to be flying through there. That didn't really happen. I mean, here we are 20 years later talking about dockets are still full, and here's another idea possibly to clean things up.
Yeah, well, I mean, this pulls some cases out, but I think the attention is more on the other side of making sure that these really big cases get the kind of attention they deserve. Mm-hmm. Sort of a side benefit is you help hopefully free up the docket for other cases.
So the idea here is to move along these big cases faster. I was surprised by this in looking up some info for this podcast. Baylor School of Law put out an estimate that roughly 1.58 million civil lawsuits were filed in Texas state courts in 2022. That's 36% more, they say, than the second most litigious state, which is Florida. I didn't know that. I didn't know that we were that litigious here in Texas. And as you mentioned, all of those lawsuits are, you know, bubbling through the courts at the same time that judges are trying to make time for these enormous business cases that have huge dollar figures associated with them.
Right. Yeah. No question. I mean, there are tons of cases. That just makes the point of why our state judges are busy. It's not like we've been creating a whole bunch more courts either, mm-hmm. right? And so we have more population. We all are aware of, you know, the increased population in Texas, just growth. Everything's going to grow. More lawsuits are going to grow too, and so you need more cases.
So when Whiteley has his truck accident, he's going to file at least five lawsuits against anyone who was nearby.
I mean, this many lawsuits, you guys should be picking up the tab today for this this round here, David. So the legislature finally.
My water is really costing you a lot of money.
Hey, that's imported, all right. The legislature finally figured this out, and they finally got through all the judges and the different lobbies to get this thing passed. September the 1st goes into effect, but there's no courthouse yet. How are these cases being heard already?
Yeah, it is kind of funny. There might be a little bit of a struggle going on between the existing judges and the new judges. Not open warfare, but there's a little bit of turf battle, I think
To share courtrooms or what?
Yeah, well, apparently the deal has been struck that if there's a trial, that the business courts will get to use the courthouse for trial. But right now, they don't have space in the normal courthouses, I think, in any of the locations around the state.
So where do they do business? How do they do this?
I think they've rented space. They have rented space, and a lot of this, you know, a lot of the pre-trial things can be done either on Zoom or just in a conference room to mm-hmm. meet with people. But when it comes down to actual big time court witnesses and all and juries. I mean, they still can have juries. You got to have a courtroom.
Mm-hmm. And that juries thing is a difference from what we see in Delaware. Texas has carved out to where these business courts will allow juries in some of these trials. How big of a deal is that, and why is that something that was specifically concentrated?
Yeah, well, it's a big thing that's in the Texas Constitution, so you can't just get rid of it. And it's something that is different than Delaware. Delaware, they're part of their court system is called the Chancery Court System, and they do not have juries at all in any of that. But here, you can have a jury. Lots of people in these big commercial cases, there's a contract involved, mm-hmm. and the contract says no jury, right?
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Mm. Yeah, you can waive a jury, but it has to be in the agreement, and people have to agree to it. So, it's not going to happen in your car wreck case, but it's going to happen.
Yes.
Can happen in a $100 million transaction.
In your planned car
wreck. People will say that. Yes, that's right.
Well, we talked about these big business cases. Let's kind of go through what one of these looks like. I think about Enron. That was a criminal case in federal court, but that was a massive case. I'll just take some of your history here too. You've worked on many different cases. You defended a major semiconductor fabrication company, a patent infringement case. You've had a copyright infringement regarding video distribution rights for a multi-week trial. Defeated claims in the trial court of alleged theft of software or trade secrets. These things drag out for months and years. Is that right?
Oh yeah, cases. Sometimes cases go on for many years.
Well, how will it work if our judges are only on 2-year terms, and you have a case that goes 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, and that is something that people brought up and said, "Gosh, that's not really workable." I think in this next legislative session, we can talk about that more later. You're going to see at least an effort to try to extend the term of these judges, which will take a constitutional amendment, but. I think the thinking right now is that the governor intends, assuming these judges are good and they want to stay, they'll just keep getting reappointed every 2 years.
Okay.
So they're not going to like magically disappear after 2 years.
Well, Delaware has, 12-year terms, I think, for the judges there. I mean, is it reappointing? Is that going to solve the problem here? Or do you think it's going to take a constitutional amendment for longer terms?
Well, reappointing is one way to solve the problem, but it's still uncertain, right?
Because the Senate has to approve each
each time, and the governor... Look, the governor could change, and the governor could make a new decision. The new governor could make a new decision if you change out the governor.
Do you know something about a new governor?
No, I don't. I have no idea. I have no idea.
What did you tell us, David?
You've buried the lead.
Yeah, I buried the lead. No, I'm just... Eventually, time, sometime in the future, there will be a new governor.
Yeah. Right. Let's say if I take on a company I'm the little guy, I'm a consumer, a company does me terribly wrong, we had some kind of deal. Does this court benefit me as regular Joe taking on a big company, or does this court make things much harder for me?
Yeah, for you have a dispute with some big company, you're still going to be in state district court.
Okay.
You're not going to be in the big business court. I mean, these have to be... in general, $5 million to $10 million disputes just to get
minimum,
in the door.
Right? Yeah,
minimum yeah. Just to get that's just table stakes to get in.
Okay, let's say I'm small business and I meet that threshold though. If I'm small business guy taking on a huge corporation that I've made a deal with and things went sour or whatever, does it benefit me as small business guy? Is it neutral, or does it hurt me that this is going to be in a specialized business court now instead of in a regular district court?
I think it's gonna help you. It's either gonna help you or at least be neutral.
Okay.
Because you're gonna have a judge that is experienced, that knows you're probably dealing with a contract situation. They're going to be able to read that. They're going to understand your business better just based upon their experience of the kind of judge you're going to have. And they're going to be able to evaluate your situation, and you're going to get, hopefully, a more consistent ruling that's going to be fair to you, whether you're a small business or a giant business.
Mm. With contracts, it seems like they're a lot more black and white, but that's not the case.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, sometimes they are very clear, but usually if they're that clear, people can work out their own decision, without a whole lot of help. But sometimes they're not. And sometimes you get some situation that falls in the gray area of different provisions in a contract. And So then you've got to go figure it out.
A lot of money in law is made in those gray areas, is it not?
Well, you know.
A lot of money everywhere is made in gray areas.
I would be flipping burgers somewhere. I might not even be good enough to do that.
Let's go back to the Delaware Chancery. Again, Delaware renowned for its business courts. Are we likely to see with these Texas business courts a more quote-unquote conservative justice than what they meet out in Denver or in Delaware rather? Are we likely to see something that's so different from what happens in Delaware that businesses really do go, oh my gosh, let's rush to Texas and go incorporate there instead of in Delaware?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be so much that. It's just that if our system is viewed as consistent, they follow the law, follow the contracts, then people are going to be attracted here because more business is going to be here. I mean, like we talked about a little while ago, I mean, the companies aren't actually physically located in Delaware.
Sure. Right.
So if you physically are located here and you have the laws, you choose Texas laws, and then you have a system of a justice system that you feel really good about in terms of the judges, then you have everything here. And so it's not going to happen tomorrow where all these cases are here, but over a period of 5 years, 10 years or so, you can see that kind of shifting. Nobody, given where we are, you wouldn't have predicted 5 years ago that Modelo would pass Bud Light, right?
Yeah.
So Texas,
good call.
You know, Texas.
Do we have your W-9? Because you dropped a lot of good beer references in this episode here.
Yeah. So for a good Baptist, you know, I at least know that. I mean, I think there's going to be over time a transition of some of these big cases from Delaware to Texas.
Let's talk about the chicken and the egg here, because I'm curious. Did this, at least from your reading, did this come about as a political first thing, where folks in Austin were sitting around going, "Hey, we need to compete here. We need to create this, et cetera, et cetera." Or was this driven more by business interests who said, hey, you know what, we've seen some unfavorable rulings in Delaware. I think the Elon Musk compensation one was a big one that made some folks go, why does Delaware have all this power? We need to take some of that power away from them. Who drove this?
This was, well, it was moving way before all that litigation with Elon Musk.
Did that accelerate it?
No, because it was already really on the books before that happened. It's a combination, anything. Mm. Business interests definitely wanted this kind of system. They're located here. They don't. I mean, who wants to go to Delaware if you're here and have your case tried up there when you could have it right here? So
especially if it goes for years.
Yeah, it goes for years.
And it's so, Delaware, too. I mean, come
yeah,
on.
It is Delaware. Yeah. I mean, you got to fly into Philly, drive down there. I mean,
you probably have an
Eagles fan driving you in your Uber. I mean, there's a lot of issues there. So, business community, obviously, but also, from the legislature and the governor, they're thinking big picture, how do I attract even more business here? I mean, look, Chevron is moving from California to here. It wasn't one thing that caused Chevron to decide to relocate here. I mean, a company that's been in California for whatever, 100 years.
Yeah.
But over things that they don't like in California and things they do like in Texas, they finally kind of hit the last straw and said, we're moving to Texas.
Mm. Let me ask you about the judges again here, too. The Dallas Morning News had this. I'm sure you've seen this reporting, that 5 of the 13 judges appointed by Governor Abbott had worked on behalf of fossil fuel companies, and then all 3 of the judges in the new appellate court that this legislation also created, they were among those 5. Any concern about that, considering this is the energy state?
Well, I would say that any lawyer in Texas who has had a business practice, we're in Texas. Mm-hmm. We're not in Delaware. You're going to have worked for oil and gas businesses because they are. Go to Houston. You can talk to a lawyer who does anything, and within 15 seconds, you'll figure out that it doesn't matter what their what kind of practice they have. They're going to be doing some work for some energy company.
It's just that ubiquitous.
It's everywhere. So I wouldn't be concerned about that. In a certain sense, the people would say, well, at least they know about that if we have those kind of disputes there. And look, there are people on an energy dispute that's in this kind of court. There's probably an energy company on each side. So the judges aren't, the judges should be fine with it.
It's beneficially the way it sounds right. Like with where we are.
I want to talk about, you know, the possibility that Texas could screw this up, because you can screw up anything. And so let's wade real deep into the politics. That's just what you want, right? The Texas Tribune put out something that said, you know, critics fear that this court is a Republican effort to circumvent Democrat-dominated district courts. Proponents say, of course, the court will increase efficiency, though. The Dallas Morning News recently did something where they were talking about this issue where the Attorney General was pushing to overturn that gun ban at the State Fair of Texas. He had lost in the district court, and he decided to take it into the business courts, the appellate court there. And the Dallas Morning News says this is not the type of case that this court was meant to handle. His decision to bring this politically charged and legally questionable case to this court undermines its intended purpose and interferes with a successful start to its operations. What are your thoughts about, well, first of all, that court, though, that appellate court, that business court, essentially, you know, went along with what the district court had said, and this ended up moving on to the Supreme Court. So they may have diffused a lot of that controversy right there just by, you know, handling it that way.
Yeah, look, first of all, you could say where the business courts are located, you could say, oh, those are in counties that are controlled by Democrats or vote Democrat right now. But they also happen to just be the five biggest metro areas in Texas. They're in Dallas, Fort Worth, Austin, San Antonio, Houston. Mm-hmm. Okay, those are our biggest places. So that's where all the big business generally is located. So, yes, you can make a political argument, but you can also just say, hey, that's where we're going to have big business, and that's where you're going to have these courts located. The other thing is I do think this decision with that General Paxton just went through highlights that the judges are making decisions just based on the law. They're calling balls and strikes straight up. I mean, it's a pretty good endorsement of the theory. What the Court of Appeals, that 15th Court of Appeals, the new one, it's where the business court cases go, but it also... If they're appealed, mm-hmm. Before they would go to the Texas Supreme Court. But it's also... they pulled out of what was the third Court of Appeals in Austin. They pulled out these cases involving the government actors, and agency appeals. And so that's really where the Attorney General really had to take that appeal. Mm-hmm. And like you said, they decided right off the bat, very short order, said, no, we read the law, and you're leasing government property. The gun ban doesn't apply to you. You can ban a certain level of guns, mm-hmm. in your facility. And heck, the Texas Supreme Court very quickly also affirmed that. So it seems like it's a pretty good endorsement that the people there, they're not playing politics. They weren't, you know, doing what the Attorney General was trying to do. They were just calling balls and strikes based upon the law.
Yeah, so some legitimacy was on the line there, really, and this really cast, I think, a bright spotlight on that business appellate court right off the bat, as soon as they got underway, and gave them this huge, high-profile, politically charged case. I think that, you know, critics of the business courts were expecting, like, okay, these judges were all appointed by Governor Abbott. Well, here we go. We're going to see this rubber stamp where they just go along with Attorney General Ken Paxton. They didn't. Do you think that helped them right out of the gates here as this court system is getting its legs under it to establish credibility?
Yeah, I absolutely think it did. I think it did, and any of the critics would say, well, I guess I was wrong. Mm-hmm. I mean, or they may say, well, we'll do, it's only one. It's
we'll
only
keep
one.
Watching.
It's only one
yeah,
chance. We'll keep watching.
It will be watched just because of the nature, just because of the setup here, just because we see the governor with such extraordinary power that, you know, the sort of thing we haven't seen in Texas before, where he can
appoint all of these judges with the, you know, advice and consent of the Senate.
Right. Yeah. No doubt. And so people are going to be watching it, and it's a statewide election ultimately for those judges too, in the 15th court. But there was already a challenge to that, and the Texas Supreme Court said, nope, it's all okay under the Texas Constitution.
Should the legislature toy with the idea of removing the governor appointing these judges and make these judges be elected like all the other state district judges are, do you think?
I don't think that's going to happen.
You don't think it's going to happen?
I don't think that's going to happen. Well, the business community and the folks who wanted appointed judges, they want that for a reason.
They want the qualifications.
They want the qualifications for a reason. And if you pull this out to be elected, then...
You got Wheeler running for it. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's right. I mean,
that's really trouble you don't need right
now. That's
there.
Real damaging.
But so it's
we have to wait at least 10 years for him to be practicing.
Yeah,
like
because
that.
Can you imagine how long one of his like decisions would be? I mean, as for a jury trial, I just want guilty or innocent on this thing. I don't need to hear Wheeler opine about this. So this has been around for 5 weeks now. Have you filed a case in the business court yet?
I have not filed a case, but we've been tracking them. There are only 10 or 12. Cases that have
still
been filed.
Yeah,
it's still brand new. And obviously they have to be really big to be able to get in there. So these really big cases don't get filed every day. And so there have been 10 or 12, and I'm sure that will pick up a little bit. And people are still kind of watching to see, you know, how does it work? Yeah. It's new. Clients have to decide, is that where I want to bring it? I mean, clients have options. Sometimes their agreement may say Delaware. They may already have an agreement that says we got to file in Delaware, so we don't have this option. But I think clients are watching, and also you've got people who are worrying, is there going to be a constitutional challenge to these courts? So there's a little bit of a wait and see attitude.
But I thought that had been cleared up, though.
But they've been cleared up for the appellate court,
For the 15th.
For the 15th court,
okay.
But not for the
actual
trial
business courts.
Correct,
okay.
Yes.
So I'm curious, as a business, though, I can still opt to go, I don't want to go to the business courts. I want to go to the district court. Why would I do that?
You could decide that your particular case, that's what you want, and maybe you're in a place, like they've only established the business courts in the big metro areas. They're supposed to be established out in far west Texas, very far south Texas.
Still another year
Texas.
Or more off, though. Yeah.
And so.
So if I'm in Midland, I'm going to go, hey, let me have the district court. I don't want to have to go over to Dallas.
Yeah, you have no option. You really have no option in Midland right now.
But beyond that, might I see as a business something more favorable about going to a district court instead of going to a business court?
Yeah, the jurisdiction is really is complicated. You could have cases that are, you could have your big claim, and you could have other claims that don't fit within the jurisdiction. That's something that the legislature may clean up this next time, or try to clean up this next time. So maybe you can't bring everything in one big case. So you might decide to do that. Now, you could decide to file your case in district court, but if it qualifies for business court, the other side can remove it. So you could still end up in business court.
So let's say if I'm suing, if my business is suing Whiteley's business because it's shady.
Highly likely.
So let's say if my business is suing his business and I know that my case, you know, it's okay, but it's got a few holes in it, you know. Is it more advantageous maybe for me to go to an overloaded district court that has a ton of other cases, to try to get that through there, whereas I know in the business court they're going to see those holes in the case immediately and they're going to have the time to look at it?
Yeah, you might think that. I mean, I think I would hope our good judges would spot that anyway.
Yeah.
But just because of the
time. But I'm just trying to make Whiteley, I'm trying to make him sweat because, you know, they've got all these other cases. He doesn't want to pay his high-powered attorneys. Maybe he settles out of court.
He mentioned the holes in his case earlier, though, so that should answer his own question right there.
That's right. You're shady, but he's got holes in his case.
So that's all you need to know.
We may both be shady.
Lawyers make complicated decisions about where to file their cases all the time based upon all sorts of factors.
There's a lot of different factors that go into it.
Wheeler doesn't realize that attorneys charge by the hour, and we're almost up with our hour here with David Harper. So
you could have made so much more money in this hour.
Exactly.
David.
David, this is insightful. There's a lot of things that I didn't realize about this, but especially the judges. I was kind of skeptical of this whole judge thing being appointed, but it makes sense now because if I'm a business and I'm behind the creation of this thing, I want to make sure we have people that are hearing my case that have some skin in the game, at least knowing what I'm talking about here.
Right. Remember, our federal judges are all appointed. Yeah. And now, there's always politics in all of this,
sure.
Yeah.
Right? But including in federal appointments. But, you know, because of that process they go through, they're highly vetted, well-regarded to get through that process. So, you know, they're obviously people pick people that are on their team, yeah. So to speak. But that's the way this should work, too. It should be very highly qualified people and end up being better for these kind of big cases.
My last question on this is, so we're a month in now. We've seen, you know, you said maybe a dozen cases filed in these new courts. Do you see at some point, once all 11 of these, you know, courts across the state are up and running, do you see these business courts being just packed with cases?
Well, I hope they're not packed.
But do you see that, though?
Yeah, I think it could be. I think it could be that way over a period of time, that they'll have plenty of business. I think they will have plenty of business.
So this is not a solution in search of a problem. This is something that's been needed, and you see those being very busy courts.
Yeah, I think you're going to see some cases that would have otherwise been in our state district courts show up there. You're going to see some cases that might have been in arbitration before people choose to be there. And you're going to see people who might have otherwise been in Delaware be in Texas instead. And so I think there's going to be plenty of business for the business courts.
And are they going to get their own courtrooms? Are we going to have trials in like a conference room in a hotel? I mean,
hopefully that's going to get worked out over time. You know, there's always, you know, some issues getting up off the ground, but I'm pretty sure that's going to get worked out.
Yeah, growing pains indeed. David Harper from Haynes and Boone, thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate it. Wheeler, I'm glad you could show up today as well, too.
I was glad to be here. This is really nice, and I hope that we make a return here to Jack of All in Bishop Arts, and I hope that you make it. I mean, I don't know when you're planning to have this truck accident, but I hope you're okay when it's
all. I'm an attorney now, though. I'm an attorney, and I know a new court.
You can file it in business court and watch them throw you out.
See if it gets removed, right?
It wouldn't be the first time Whiteley's been thrown out of an establishment.
David, thanks a lot, man.
Thank you.
Okay, y'all, the conversation doesn't stop here. Find us on Twitter and Instagram. We're @Yolitics.